League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
They've got something new now. It's called the Press Box.
You're back in the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Hey, one in the books, two to go. Second hour of the show right now. On the Press Box, ESPN 97.5, 92.5 FM. Stay dry out there. Lots of rain in the area.
Again.
And all week. But it's bad. I mean, I told you about 59. Lisa called me on the way home and said, like, even the feeder roads were flooded and that it's where they're getting intermittent downpours, but some of them have been pretty intense.
Yeah, not about that life. And also, I've been working on that brick oven outside, and every time I go get more bricks, it rains on me.
Can I get pictures of this?
Dude, it's not bad. It's going to be a badass brick oven
when
it's all done.
Did you blueprint? Like, did you get a certain shape and design you were after?
Yeah.
Okay. And so you've got your mortar and your bricks?
Just wait till you see the finished product. You're going
to
be impressed.
I'm looking forward to it. It's got a little chimney, smokestack.
There's a vent.
Oh. Okay.
There's a vent.
Not a chimney. Aren't they normally, like, shaped so that it at the very top, that's like all the smoke exits like a chimney?
Yeah, but the one I'm making is not going to be nearly as insulated or anything. It's just like a little activity that I'm doing with the folks and just having fun with it.
I'm interested in seeing the finished product, Bob Vila.
I think I texted you the picture of what it could potentially look like.
No, you did not.
I believe I did.
No, you did not.
Okay.
You do a lot of things on Twitch, on text, that you either do or don't think you did.
I a lot of times don't remember.
Right.
You're right. That's true.
And that's fine. Okay, so the one series, second hour of the show, we already talked Astros a little bit. We'll talk about him again.
But one quick update on that. Dusty did just say that he doesn't expect Alex Bregman to come back for at least another month. Yesterday, he was on record, Alex Bregman, saying he was above and, ahead of schedule, and it's a lot faster than he thought. But he is on record saying that he doesn't expect Alex Bregman to return to the Astros lineup for at least a month.
God, that's a long time.
That's another 4 weeks, people, at least.
Yeah,
at the minimum.
I don't like hearing that. I mean, I told you Mike Trout.
When's the All-Star break again?
It's in another week and a half.
So, yeah, that's going to be at least 3 or 2 weeks after the All-Star break.
Man, that's a long time. Okay, well, I mean, you better hope that Toro continues to hit. Because Garcia ain't that guy.
Toro, Chaz, you read the stats of Miles Straw over the past, 120 games?
Yeah. I'll tell you what, and I gave him credit. I mean, he has resurrected what looked like a awful season. And he's got, he's got it going in the right direction. And he had some good offensive production again last night. So you look at that and say, as much as you didn't see it coming, that's why I've been focused solely on the bullpen, because the combo of Straw finding it and Chaz being such a surprise means maybe you don't have to worry about anything in center field or backup outfield or what. And what you do need to realize is your biggest only hole is the bullpen. Yeah. So do something about it.
Yeah, get on it, click.
That's what I
get
keep
on
saying.
It.
I don't care about your relationship with the freaking flagship station and the interviews you got to do. I care about what you're going to do for a team that I continue to harp on is far too good to have a bullpen this bad.
Is James Click is he the social media type, or is that a negative?
I don't think he's an anything type. He seems like he's one of those introverted guys that would rather not do media at all.
Yeah, I don't see him on Twitter, I don't think.
Yeah, I'm not that. Again, the only time we hear from him is when he's doing a forced segment he has to do on the flagship station. So, yeah, I don't expect to hear from him as much as I want to. And I don't hear enough in the rumor mills on all these different websites of the Astros, kicking the tires on relief pitchers, trying to figure out if there's someone out there that can help this team win it all. So that's some Astros for you. Someone said, can Joel have Lisa on the show? She's fine. Okay. Yeah. We'll work on that for you.
Why not? I would have Lisa. I mean, why not?
I'm sure she would do it too.
Would she? I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, so why not?
But we could at some point. I mean, then she'd be like, what are we going to talk about? Don't ask me about this. Don't ask me about that.
See, I wouldn't do that.
She's got to be careful because delivering the news, there's,
it's TV.
There's
do's I get and it.
Don'ts. Yeah.
I get it. And I'm obviously the wrong guy.
Oh, and can I mention this to you?
What?
So I told you that Taylor flew back to California with grandma yesterday. All right. I didn't realize how intensely worried moms get over their kids until yesterday.
It's kind of their instinct, bruh.
But it's too much, Nick. It's over the top. So they're flying. They have a layover in Phoenix of like an hour and 15 minutes. Well, because of the rain and a whole bunch of, and the planes coming in were delayed, they didn't get on their flight till 45 minutes late. And of course, her mom is taking pictures of every little bit of Taylor's big journey to California. But then they start calculating between the two of them. But I'm on the group text about what if we get there late and miss the connecting flight. And then all hell breaks loose. Like, Lisa is pacing around the house going, I mean, they're going to end up either, if they're going to go cheap, they're going to make them stay overnight in the airport, and they won't even put them up. Taylor is too young to be staying in an airport. And then if they do put them up, she said they did it to me once in Phoenix, and it was a hellhole hotel across the street. I'm like, Lisa, your mom also said there's multiple other people on that flight that need that connector. They'll either hold the flight or they'll work it out. No, they won't. You don't know that. And they're freaking out like crazy. On top of that, she was deathly worried that Maddie, without grandma there, who'd, because she's been there a week, and then without her big sister there, was going to lose her mind and be just uncontrollable.
So I'm assuming this is a dumb question. You're saying Taylor was flying to Cali, right?
Yeah.
There's no one-way flight to where she's going?
That's what she did. Well, that's what we did. We did a one-way because I told you on the way back, grandma and grandpa are going to load up the RV and drive her back and then stay for another week or 10 days
okay.
with us.
Okay.
So it's a one-way ticket, but the only, Lisa booked it, and so she's looking at it, and she goes, it's the only flight going to Palm Springs tonight. I was like, Lisa, but there's multiple other, they're not going to not appease all those. They know what you're talking about. They know they might have to put these people up in a hotel or do something drastic if it gets to that point. They will hold that plane at the gate. Just like they held
that's
your mom.
Like what happened. Yeah.
Yeah. Just like they held Taylor's flight to get out because the plane coming in that was proceeding on to Phoenix was late. They made people wait. It's going to happen one way or another. They're going to get there. Nope.
Well, I mean, look, I understand. I guess when it comes down to the children, maybe moms can be a bit over the top, but it is kind of weird to have your kid just travel alone on a plane. And I know she's not alone. She's with, you know, grandma, but it is different when you're not there, I would imagine.
Yeah, because I'm like the alpha and everybody, they listen to me and I've got control of it. But like, so I get the text last night at like 11:30. We just landed. Everything went fine. And I'm like, and Lisa was sleeping, but I'm like, oh, imagine that. It worked out. But here's the kick, the kicker for me. Do you know from the time that I dropped Maddie at school this morning, she has not once asked where Tay-Tay is and she has not once looked for grandma. She has loved every bit of being the center of attention, doing whatever the hell she wants. And it's like she never noticed that she had a big sister and a grandma.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, Lisa, remember all that worry about grandma and big sister? How's that going? She's like, what do you mean? I go, has she mentioned them once? She's like, come to think of it, no. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
She's all about, she knows how to do it. She's worried about herself.
I would imagine they'll be fine. I mean, I think I'd be more concerned for, like, international flights. Like, before my grandma passed away, we put on her flight. She was supposed to connect in New York, mm-hmm. and she ended up riding the wrong flight and ended up in St. Louis, and she doesn't speak English. She only speaks Arabic and French. Mm-hmm. So I felt like that was a little bit more nerve-wracking. I think Tay and grandma will be fine.
Yeah, I think they will. But, I mean, you know, overall, I was just like, you know what? Here, do you remember when we were kids, and I think even when you were a kid, parents very, very conveniently would just throw their kid on a flight and they would let the airline know and you would get the little set of wings and talk to the pilot and they'd make sure they kept an eye on you. And then when you got to the gate, when you landed, a relative would pick you up.
Yeah.
Nowadays, come on, man. No one's doing that.
My mom wouldn't have done that 25 years ago, 30 years ago.
Lisa wouldn't have done it either.
There's no way. There's no way my mom would have put me on a flight by myself. No way.
No.
She just wouldn't have done that. But look, some parents are cool with it and some parents are not.
My friends used to do it all the time, though. Their parents, because whether they were busy or it was a single parent situation or whatever, they would just like, hey, I'm putting Junior on to go see relatives in Phoenix. So I've just lined it up. So I drop them off at the gate. And then they take care of them, and then someone picks them up at the gate, and everybody's cool with it. Nowadays, no, I don't think anybody's signing up for that.
I don't know. I don't know if maybe you have to, though. What if you're a situation where you're a divorced couple and y'all both live in different states?
Yeah.
I mean, what? I would imagine someone is goes through that.
So there's just a little update on the fact that all catastrophes did not happen.
And is this my new wife can Houston breathe. Astros cap that I'm looking at, or is this?
I bought it.
Because I don't remember seeing
about a
that.
Week or so.
That's a nice one.
Yeah, I like
it. Is that a Lids hat?
It is.
That's a nice
hat.
Yeah,
it's a stretch fit. It's one of the stretch fit hats, but I like it. Because I like white hats, and I like that logo.
White hats, huh?
Yeah. I always have liked white hats.
You only like white hats, huh?
Oh, you're going to go that route, Scottie Pippen?
Because we got to get to that, too.
We have got to get to that. If you guys missed it, Scottie Pippen has been on this world tour. First, it was the interview in GQ when he hammered Kevin Durant, and he was just throwing barbs left and right. Now he's out there plugging, not a book, no, not his book coming up. He's plugging booze, and in the process, he sounds drunk out of his mind because the takes that he's making and the accusations that he's throwing out there, I mean, I guess it's good because if you're looking for a booze that'll get you all liquored up to say stupid crap, it could be the one, but he sounds boozed up, and his takes are unbelievably awful. So we're going to have to get to
that. It's all about bitterness. He was the guy that was really quiet when it came down to The Last Dance and all these documentaries, and he wasn't revealing too much information. When everybody else was revealing a whole bunch of information and he didn't like the way he looked, now he's talking all of a sudden. All those things could have been brought up on The Last Dance, but he didn't do that. That to me is telling itself.
So in the quotes that he gave on an interview with Dan Patrick that you've broken up that we're going to get to, he alludes to the fact that the cameras that were filming the Bulls back then were all working for MJ because they were all working on The Last Dance even back then. Okay, Scott, slow your roll. And the other thing that annoys the hell out of me, he talks about himself in third person through most of the interview. You're you, buddy. Just say when I was there and they did this, Bill didn't call my number. Don't say, when Scottie Pippen was there, we know who you are. We know who you are, too, by the way, 281-682. And Tyler came running in here thinking it was him. We love Tyler. Tyler can text all he wants, but we can block people,
too. Why is there somebody like being mean?
Oh, he's nonstop, and now he's to the point where he's been blocked.
I didn't look, but they were saying something about the puking thing. I don't care about – I don't think they should inspect puke or anything. Like, I don't care. I don't know what the protocol is.
It's still protocol that they have to clean it up and has – not necessarily hazmat it, but make sure other players don't have to deal with it. So, all right, lots to get to. The Pippen sound bites will be coming up and lots of other things. It all involves you, too. So if you guys want to join the program, unless you're 281-682, you can reach us, 713-780-3776. Calls and texts, otherwise Twitch and Twitter. Press box, ESPN.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Football Hall of Famer Eddie George, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Listening to the Press Box on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
So like I said, at some point we're going to get to the Pippen audio because we want to dedicate some time to it. You guys can get in on the discussion and see what you think because we're always interested in your guys' feedback. Here's another one that we've brought up in the past that Nick and I have talked about that came up recently. Tom Brady did this interview with the barbershop or whatever it's called, the shop. And a lot of the comments are again being regurgitated over and over, especially by my boy Mike Greenberg and Get Up. Well, the one that he's now mesmerized with, and by the way, Aaron Rodgers did make the top headlines on Get Up again today.
Of course he did.
So I had enough, and I actually tweeted at Greeny.
Did you really?
Yeah, because there was an article that said, with training camp not happening until the end of July, there will be no news and nothing to report on Aaron Rodgers for quite some time. And I basically said something like, hey, Greeny, you hear that? Because, like, you've already tried to milk it for all it's worth. In previous tweets, I have said Mike Greenberg in a previous life was a dairy farmer because he has milked the hell out of that story.
He always includes it in the story somehow, some way. He's done it for months now, and you've been on it. I just saw your tweet. You quote tweeted the Big Lead. Yeah. Good website.
Which is the article that said there will be nothing to report for quite some time.
Yeah, well. If he has an obsession with your boy Aaron Rodgers, he's not going to shut up about that.
I guess he wants to be good morning football. I mean, and the other thing that I'm against, I know you're Kendrick Perkins' opinion, but this ties into it. Are you for or against guys that cover other sports commenting on major sports stories on ESPN? He brings in PJ Carlissimo and Seth Greenberg to have a take on Dak Prescott and the Cowboys. He brings in Kendrick Perkins to talk about the NFL. He brings in Dominique Foxworth to talk about the NBA. I don't want to hear that.
A lot of people don't want to hear that, but ESPN has been big on that. They don't necessarily care if the particular ESPN analyst, host, studio anchor, whatever the case may be, doesn't have a particular background somewhere. If they feel like it's a fit or if they feel like that person is a big enough of a name, they might pair him up with somebody. It's the reason why Joe Rogan wasn't a big fan of working with Stephen A. Smith. He didn't want to speak to Stephen A. Smith, but they have a deal with ESPN. He wanted to call the fights and do pregame and pre-fight stuff with someone who knew MMA. And there was like a back and forth, and Stephen A. Smith and Joe Rogan went back and forth about it. And Joe Rogan basically called him out about his MMA knowledge and blah, 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 blah. But that's what ESPN does. I'm not a fan of it, but that's what they do. Perkins, I guess what they do for people like Perkins, like former player, as long as you're a former player in a major league and you had those big paychecks, you had the player life, the athlete's life, right? So I guess there's some perspective you can add, even though you've never played.
But to hear him and Dominique Foxworth go back and forth about a sport that one of them didn't play.
I agree.
What are we doing here? So you and I have had this conversation. Do the players owe the media and or the fans anything to give them sound bites, to give them their take on something that happened, whether it be when Kevin Durant gets into it, you know, on social media or takes a stripper to dinner? Or whatever the case may be, when something pops up, we have said, hey, the players don't owe anything. They don't have to talk. And if they talk, like Marshawn Lynch, they can just say, I'm just here so I don't get fined. But there's an expectation amongst the media and then furthermore the fans that they deserve to be told the truth. Well, Tom Brady now comes out and says basically 90% of the time when he does a press conference, he lies. And he says if he feels one way, he says the exact opposite. He goes, if I know there's a bleep corner on the other team, I'm going to go out and tell you that he is the greatest corner on the planet because I'm going to go at him. The direct quote was, what I say versus what I think are two totally different things. I would say 90% of what I say is probably not what I'm thinking, which is challenging. I really admire people that actually can do that and say what they think because they invite a lot of other things into their life. I think there's part of me that doesn't like conflict. So in the end, I just always try to play it super flat from a strategic standpoint. I never want to give away what we're doing, so I usually say the opposite. He goes on to say about the crap corner or some guy that he knows they're going to pick on. He's going to inflate him, probably Kevin King of the Packers. He's going to inflate him like he's great, and then he's going to annihilate him.
That's genius, by the way. That's smart. That is so smart, though.
Belichick, isn't it?
I guess. Look, it's smart, though. I mean, if you want someone to make you know, feel like, if you know he's really not that good of a corner, you really know you can take advantage of that weak spot on their roster in terms of defense. Why wouldn't you do that? And if, I mean, I think that's a genius idea on Tom Brady's part, but he has great football IQ. I think he has good IQ in general. I mean, the guy's just a smart dude.
But so that's my point, because it furthers a discussion we've had in the past. I'm curious how people think out there, because I think a lot of people think and expect coaches and players have to not only talk, but they have to be honest. We talked about when Joel Embiid, they lost that game, and all of a sudden he wasn't talking to the media anymore. But the minute he plays well, he wants all cameras and eyes on him.
Right.
And it's a catch-22, and it's a difficult situation, but everybody handles it differently. And I think there is an expectation amongst the general fan base that, hey, they owe us. We talked about, stop hearing from everybody else, Deshaun. Tell us how you feel. What's your opinion?
By the way, I think, speaking of Deshaun, I've been following his girl on Instagram.
Yeah, I saw this.
She's been taking pictures with Deshaun.
Like, they're engaged.
Are they?
I found an article that said they are engaged. They were at a wedding and they were cutting rug all over the place.
Really?
Yes.
So it's all good in the neighborhood.
Evidently so.
Interesting. I had no idea. I just saw the Instagram stories either yesterday or the day before, and I meant to mention it. I'm like, oh, I feel like he's in his good graces with the girl.
Model girlfriend as listed as fiance as by TotalProSports.com. At a wedding, they get down on the dance floor, and the headline had said fiance. So I don't know if that's true or not, but it is the same chick that you were talking about that he had been with.
Jilly Anace.
For quite a while, yep.
And I'm assuming that's how you pronounce her name, Jilly Anace.
I'll go with it. I'll allow it. So evidently, he's not too worried about cameras or people with phones at weddings. He's out and about living his best life outside of football.
Well, I'm sure he made the proper arrangements the best that he could to avoid people and stuff like that. You know what I mean? I'm pretty sure.
Boy, she's pretty too. I just saw she's, one of the oh, pictures she's absolutely from the
wedding. No, she is very, very pretty. No, she's a very, very pretty gal. Like, yeah, very pretty. As a matter of fact, I don't even know that she would be with Deshaun if he wasn't a football player. Like that, he definitely outkicked his coverage for sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
So in our rundown, it said that his fiance. I don't see in the article now the exact reference.
I don't know if they're married.
But they are back together.
All I know is that I've been following her Instagram and his Instagram just to see if they're like putting pictures of each other. I didn't see it till yesterday or the day before.
Yeah. So there's definitely out there Texans at Texans BR has some of the video on Twitter. She has some on Instagram. Pictures of her and Deshaun posing with the bride and the groom. So, yeah, she's posted quite a few pictures with him at the wedding. So, there you go.
I feel like this is not going to last, though. I still think they'll eventually split.
It depends. As long as the money doesn't run out.
I don't even think it's a money thing. I think she's got money.
Come on, man. She doesn't have Deshaun money. You can be an Instagram model and make
technically,
money.
Technically, she might because he hasn't seen a penny from that big contract yet. It hasn't kicked in.
But still, his initial contract was big enough. It's not that a first round pick quarterback money is better than an Instagram model's money, no matter what she's making. I don't care who you are.
Okay.
I mean, that's just my opinion.
It's probably true. I mean, I don't know the exact numbers, but. She could get someone else in a heartbeat, I'll tell you that.
So I am curious, though, because the media expects it, too. You don't think John McClain, when he asks a question, expects that the answer he's going to get from a coach or a player is going to be their honest opinion? And I've been saying forever and a day, they don't owe you anything, and most guys aren't telling the truth anyway.
No.
Tom Brady has verified it for all of us. There you have it. All right, 90 in the books, still 90 to go. Second half of the show comes up next. Don't go anywhere. It's the Press Box, ESPN.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Hey, 90 in the books, 90 still to go. Second half of the show starting right now on ESPN 97.5, 92.5. We call it the Press Box. He's Nick, I'm Joel. We'll take you till 4 o'clock, and then the Blitz will take you till 7. Nick, I know we try to avoid boring sports, but a lot of people are soccer fans. Now, if you caught it or not yesterday, France was upset. The World Cup champions were upset by Switzerland on penalty kicks. The only reason I'm telling you this is France players and the staff and coaching staff as well can now have sex again.
Really?
Yes.
Is that the rule, or why is that the case?
The coach decided before the tournament started, the Euro 2020, that he was going to lay down the law. No kissing. No
affection.
Affection. And no injection.
No lovemaking.
No funny business.
I don't get the thought process. We asked Mikey Garcia this. We've talked about this before. I don't understand the thought process behind this, but apparently some people believe it. Now, do you think they honored that and actually
follow?
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Nor should they. Because, you know, this goes all the way back to Chocolate Thunder Daryl Dawkins, who used to talk about being from the planet Lovetron. But he would say that sometimes if he had sex the night before a game, he didn't perform at the highest level. So therefore, he was leery of it. And then that started a discussion that's gone on through sports. Well, France was trying to win a second consecutive major tournament after winning the World Cup. But after being eliminated, the story now comes out that, according to one of their players, the manager, Didier Deschamps, banned any form of intimacy during the tournament. Not even a kiss with a significant other. Not even a hug with a sibling. Get out of here.
I mean, how is he going to? But how is he going to monitor that unless you have like some sort of?
I don't know if they're quarantined. I don't know if they have to stay in a hotel and stay away from family.
Like, how do you monitor that? Like, I'm not going to tell you where I'm going. If I'm going to go get some strange, I'm going to go get some strange. I don't need you to tell me, buddy. But maybe there was some way to monitor them and make sure they didn't do anything. Now the bubble apparently that was effective because old boy got caught.
Daniel House
got caught, but I don't know. I mean, I don't know how do you monitor that without some sort of technology.
Player said we could not touch anyone, not even family members. It cannot be done otherwise. It's tough for everyone, players and staff, but it must be accepted, said the coach.
You don't think it has anything to do with like them being afraid of them testing positive for COVID?
The coach is just adamant that this was his philosophy and the way he talked about it. That it was more about the, you know, I get it if it was just like the kissing and or hugging and you can't even hug your family members.
Yeah.
But the fact that he was adamant about specifying the intimacy
part.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's weird. I don't understand why they do that. I think that's a dumb rule. And I question as to whether or not they actually followed it.
Now,
for
to
sure.
Your point, in this tournament, it has been identified that most of the players had the opportunity to get vaccinated, but there's a large number who decided not to get the shots.
Yeah. There's a lot of.
So that's an issue. But you're not dealing with that. You're dealing with you and your own significant other or family. So it's different than depending on who you get matched up and play against.
Right. I don't know. I don't know. Again, I have no idea why those. I just think it's a dumb rule to make anybody stop doing that.
So like when you brought it up to Mikey Garcia, this is actually what backs that up. It said the scenario that has always been a folklore in sports, particularly in boxing for centuries, is the belief is that sex before a sporting match weakens physical energy, drains internal energy, and decreases aggression from testosterone. Perhaps this loss was evidence for that not being true.
Well, so how long did these guys have to go just through the tournament? So how long is the...
June 11th, June 28th.
Oh, that's not too bad.
A couple weeks.
That's not too bad. 2 weeks? Come on.
That's just a dry spell for you, right?
Yeah, that ain't no thing.
See?
Ain't no thing. It's 2 weeks.
So whatever the reasons may be or not be, French soccer players did not engage in sexual activity from June 11th to June 28th. They were the favorites in the tournament, but could not pull out the result they wanted. See what he did there? There were many problems to address in the coming days, weeks, and months, but the biggest might be, did this factor in?
Oh, come on. I don't think so.
If I'm a coach, I got other things to worry about before I start worrying about whether or not that they're doing the wild thing.
Right. And I'm not a medical doctor, nor am I a scientist. I just feel if you ask my opinion, it would affect you in boxing more than it would soccer. But I could be wrong. I don't know. Because I feel like you need your energy and your legs under you.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? When you're boxing. No, when you're boxing, you need your legs under you.
So I'm saying, during the sexual acts, just sit down and don't do the work.
Yeah. But
you can still reap the benefits, can't you?
I guess.
I mean, don't tell me you guess. You know. There's been times that you wanted to put 100% less effort in and get more out. Just take a load off. Well, just saying. There's, you know, there's times that you're the aggressor and times that you are the recipient, right?
Yeah.
So now one of the staffers who, because the staff, not just the coaching staff and the players, but the PR staff and everybody around the team, all had to comply. And one of the staffers was quoted as saying, most of the players are in their 20s. And all they have left is to, well, you know, abstinence does not create tension, but it is a discussion topic also because it becomes complicated. Not even being able to give a kiss or a caress to loved ones. That's a bit much. I don't think that's necessary if you're a coach.
Yeah.
Note to Steven Silas. Don't try this at home.
Apparently it can affect your according to some of these articles that I've been reading right now, like while you were reading all that, like little 10 things that can happen, like quick bits, 10 things that could happen if you stop having sex and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And apparently, like your immune system, cardiovascular health, all that can be impacted if you don't have sex.
So it's a necessity is what you're saying.
Yeah, is what I'm saying.
We should print that out, and I'm just saying.
Why should we print that out?
Because all men should put it on the refrigerator as a reminder. It's a necessity. I mean, at the end of the day, it can't hurt.
You don't end up looking like the...
It can't hurt.
The caveman from the Geico commercial.
If Taylor now, with her reading skills, decides to read what's on the fridge, I got an issue. But, I mean, for a lot of people, you could post it where it needs to be seen.
And they're learning how to read a lot faster now, so.
Put it on your significant other's mirror. So when she's getting ready for work, she has a quick reminder, hey, this is important, too. I mean, this can't hurt.
We're going to talk about Pippen next.
It prevents you from going 2 weeks on a dry spell, Nick.
Scottie Pippen next. We're talking about his comments on the Dan Patrick Show next.
Does Scottie Pippen talk about Scottie Pippen?
The entire time.
Does he call himself Scottie?
But you know what? I will give you this. He is pretty consistent. I'll give him this, I should say.
Yeah.
He is pretty consistent despite... He can clearly tell he's angry. About something. Whatever.
He's bitter.
He's bitter. But his voice is still pretty consistent. But he just
didn't make look hammered or hungover.
He didn't to me. I heard you say that.
Look at his eyes. I'll look
at the video.
Toasted.
Really?
Yeah.
I got to look again.
Okay. Well, check it and let me know as we get to that. And also the Jalen Rose story which he had to apologize for. We get to that as well. There's lots of stuff to get to as we get to a little bit more than an hour left in the program. So we'd love to have you be a part of it. 713-780-3776. HR&P listener line for calls and texts. Otherwise, Twitch and Twitter. Breaking news when we come back as well from a sport that some people care about. Get to that as well. It is the Press Box, ESPN.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
So I teased it. It was probably for Charlie Pulillo and maybe a few others. But if you're a tennis fan at all, and you know Wimbledon started this week, the breaking news is, if you care at all, you probably care about Serena Williams. And now, you can't worry about Serena Williams playing in Wimbledon. You can only hope that she's okay. She slipped on center court in her match. She retired from the match and walked away from Wimbledon, as it will be another major that will escape her, as she's out. So that was the breaking news.
Big, 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 big news.
I mean, if you're a tennis fan, it is. You might not be. All right, let's get to the Pippen stuff.
Yeah, let's get to that.
So I guess it starts with Pippen's doing an appearance on Dan Patrick. I mentioned he had done the article in GQ where he took shots at Kevin Durant. Well, he wasn't done. Dan Patrick has him on, and he's plugging some alcohol company. But in the process, obviously Dan wants to talk sports, and he gets into some of the Last Dance stuff in terms of when Scottie got upset, when he didn't want to go back in the ball game. when Phil Jackson drew up the final play for Tony Kukoc. So, I guess...
This is the first... The first two is about the racism part with Phil Jackson.
Okay.
And then you go on to say it was a racial move to give him, Tony Kukoc, a rise.
So, well, I mean, if you knew that Scottie Pippen had been with the Bulls from 87, battled through the Pistons and every other team that we had to get to those three championships, wouldn't you give Scottie Pippen one opportunity to get a last second shot without Michael Jordan? Like, 1 year without Michael Jordan, can I get one shot? Like, I'm doing all the dirty work.
But all of that I understand from the basketball standpoint. But when you say a racial move...
Well, why would Tony, who was a rookie, get the last second shot and you put me out of bounds? That's what I mean, racial. Like, that was Scottie Pippen's team.
But
Scottie
Phil
Pippen
then,
was but, on pace to be an MVP that year, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, why would you put him in a position not to be successful? Why wouldn't you put him in a position to succeed? Michael Jordan is not there. So who's next in line for you?
So that's the first one.
Yeah, that's the first one.
I got plenty to say on all this, too, because the first logical answer to that, because I don't know how he can make it racist. I can see that maybe there was, he could say maybe there was favoritism. That's his opinion. My opinion is, if the other team is thinking like you're thinking, Scott, and everybody else is thinking, and that why the whole world would be keying on Scottie Pippen, why not get a really good shooting Tony Kukoc a chance to throw a wrinkle at the defense and get him the shot?
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. And I think Dan Patrick made reference to the fact that Michael Jordan was okay not taking the last shot.
But have you talked to Phil about this? Because by saying a racial move, then you're calling Phil a racist.
I don't got a problem with that.
Do you think Phil was or is?
Oh, yeah. I mean, do you remember Phil Jackson left the Lakers, went, wrote a book on Kobe Bryant, and then came back and coached him? I mean, who would do that? You name someone in professional sports that would do that. You know? I think he tried to expose Kobe in a way that he shouldn't have. You're the head coach, and you're the guy that sits in the locker room and tells the players, this is a circle. And everything stays within the circle because that's what team is about. But you as the head coach open it up, and now you go out and you try to belittle, at that time, probably one of the greatest players in the game.
So it feels like he's disloyal. I don't know if that makes him a racist.
Well, that's your
yeah.
way of putting it out, and I have my way.
Yeah, again... What Phil Jackson did, you could consider it dirty or self-centered or something. I think George Karl would do it. I think
in terms of the Kobe Bryant situation you're talking about.
I think there are guys that would do that for their own benefit to say, hey, I was around Kobe, leave the game, go capitalize by writing a book that everybody's going to want to read, whether it's true or not, because they love the sensationalism and the drama. And then you have another opportunity to coach. Why wouldn't you take another opportunity? And it turns out you're coaching him again. They obviously worked their way through. But I don't know that that particularly makes you racist. I think you just crossed the line that we talk about the unwritten rules of sports where what stays in the locker room, what goes on in the locker room stays in the locker room, and you don't talk about it.
Yeah, and I never got the racist vibe out of Phil ever. Like, I can't believe he went that route. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if there was any controversy that I've missed. I've never gotten that vibe. I mean, I think he was kind of known as a hippie, if I'm not mistaken, back in the day. And he just seemed like... And honestly, the other thing about this whole situation, wasn't it the fact that Phil embraced the triangle offense? Isn't that the reason why Scottie Pippen kind of got the ball in his hands more? Because otherwise, it would have been more of like a Doug Collins approach where he was just drawing up plays specifically for Michael Jordan. I think Phil Jackson, in a way, helped you get the ball more in your hands. Now, the year that he was...
It's a fair point.
The year that Michael Jordan was absent, okay, I guess I can see that. But at the same time... If you are the man on that team and that's quote unquote Scottie Pippen's team, then other teams know to zero in on you. And maybe Tony Kukoc taking a shot at the end of the game kind of makes sense.
So you got one quote left. I got some thoughts on it, but play the last quote from Pippen first, and then I'll give you one of my takes.
But I go back, and Phil designed a play for Steve Kerr when Mike was there. And Mike didn't have a problem with that, did he?
I don't understand. You're not setting me up to answer the right question. What do you mean Phil set up a play for Steve Kerr? He didn't set that play up for Steve Kerr. He set that play up for Michael Jordan.
I thought in the huddle, Mike says, I'm going to throw you the ball. You'll be open at the foul line. And Phil had nothing to do with that?
And you don't want to get this show started because it'll take us a long time. Do you know all those cameras that's sitting in that huddle who they was working for?
The NBA.
So you know who Michael was speaking to when he said that, right? That was planned. That was speaking to the camera. That wasn't speaking out of what we're going to have to do, what the play is going to be. That was speaking to the camera. Had John Stockton not came down, trust me. But that was building his own documentary because he knew he was controlling the cameras.
So,
you understand English?
Yeah.
Okay. So all those cameras that was working were working basically for Michael Jordan, not for the Chicago Bulls.
But
they were building the Come Fly With Me, the Air Jordan videos. That's what it was. That was not naturally spoken.
Okay. All
right. That was rehearsed.
Okay.
Rehearsed.
So, Nick, that goes to your point about the fact that there's a lot of bitterness because he wasn't portrayed the way he would have liked, anyone would have liked to be betrayed as the sidekick to MJ for six titles. And so I think a lot of what he just spewed out there was like just reaching a boiling point and being able to voice how they were all felt set up. We know Horace Grant felt the same way. Now, on Phil Jackson, here's the one thing that I would say right off the top. Phil Jackson, whether we know he's a racist or not, and I don't think that with the points that Scotty made make him a racist, just makes him a guy that, you know, plays hunches and does things a certain way, as we all know, was a little quirky. However, he did at one point refer to LeBron James and all of his high school buddies that ended up being extremely successful in different points in the business as LeBron's posse. And he caught a lot of heat for it. And everybody said, you shouldn't have used that term. And maybe there's a reason why you did, but it's offensive. And he didn't understand it. Or he said he didn't understand. He's a smart guy. I think a lot of what Phil Jackson did, what he did with the media, getting back to the Brady comments, is it's calculated. He knows what he's doing. He can play dumb about it. But at the end of the day, he's smart enough to know what he's trying to do and who he's trying to reach when he goes out and makes a comment. I can't believe in my heart of hearts and in my knowledge of sports that what Scotty's saying is 20-some-odd years in the making, that all of a sudden the people that were filming that were all only in it targeting Michael Jordan. If the NBA is filming it, it's one thing. If NBC Sports, if that's when the NBA was still on NBC, NBC is filming it. They're filming it live. I don't think that there's any way that becomes the narrative as to why it was filmed that way. That was straight huddle footage from a huddle in the middle of the finals. As smart of a businessman as Michael Jordan is, do you honestly believe in the heat of the moment, in a massive moment in NBA history, in a finals game, Michael's only thinking about talking to the cameras about his spinning it his way?
I don't think he is at all. I that's why I thought that was so weird. But the other thing is, I can see a situation if you really wanted to work with Scottie Pippen in his comments and say, you know what, maybe they were NBA cameras, but Michael Jordan was the NBA at that time. So maybe there was some preferential treatment. Maybe more cameramen wanted to be around Michael Jordan and get that best footage, some B-roll perhaps that you would have not otherwise seen. But I don't think that's what they're thinking in the middle of a huddle, like you said, Joel, in a playoff game like that. I want to hear what Steve Kerr has to say. I want to hear Phil Jackson respond. But it's an interesting time to make these comments when they spent all that time on the documentary and it just came out, for you to basically say that everything that was said in the documentary in regards to that play was basically not true. You know, like you just basically said, I mean, all that was false.
Like the GQ article, you can't just have smoke. You got to have a little fire. Yeah. So the fact that he took shots at Durant got a lot of extra run for the article. Now he's pumping booze. But I got to tell you, and I'm not a connoisseur of alcohol and I don't drink, but, you know, as someone that has partaken, do you think that's helping to sell booze when it sounds like you're so completely out there in left field with these takes? They're not focusing like they would, like everybody wants to read the GQ article. They're like, hey, maybe Scotty had a little too much of that last night, because what he's saying is completely off base.
Yeah, and I did look at the video. He does look a little high, like a little stoned little bit. I don't know if he smokes. Is he on record?
I don't know.
I don't know either. But, yeah, he did look a little off, but I don't know.
He sounded more off than he looked. Because you got to have it. You got to back it up, right? If you're going to make an accusation like racism, back it up with more than that. Because that's the Ku Klux thing in itself doesn't make sense. And we've got a 281 black guy here. Stop making everything about race. Scottie Pippen isn't a smart guy. He said, this isn't a situation. I'm from Memphis. Scottie's from a town not so far away. And he's a known idiot. This is ridiculous. And it actually diminishes racism. I hate this. I'm black and I hate this. That's real talk right there.
He's clearly bitter. And there's obviously a relationship that probably doesn't exist between him and Phil Jackson anymore. Otherwise, why he would say that? Yeah. Why would he say that?
Yeah,
God, that's not a good look for him. I don't know if he's going to sell tequila. To answer your question, I don't know. I mean, he probably will get some sales just because he's Scottie
Pippen. Was it tequila he was pushing?
Or, I'm sorry, the alcohol, whatever right, the alcohol right. that he was.
Yeah. I wasn't sure what it was. There was like
Michael Jordan is the one with the tequila.
And you know what? And just look at all the different. We talked about this when it came up last week when he was taking shots at Barkley. Like, he turned the ball over against the Lakers and cost him a series. Yeah. He wasn't, as much as he wants to self-promote himself as being an MVP candidate Michael Jordan type, I was on record as telling you a long time ago, if he doesn't play with Michael his whole career, I question whether he's a top 50 of all-time player. So, I guess we all got our motives for doing and saying what we do and say. But we've got an hour to go on the program, so we've got a lot more to get to. 60 minutes on the clock when we return. Don't go anywhere. It's Press Box ESPN.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real. Fun. Sports.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.